Good morning, University of Manitoba campus, and welcome back to the final episode of the week of Your Campus Today. I'm, of course, going to be your host once again, David Tufain. I got a really special interview on tap for you today. It's going to be with my good friend, fellow entrepreneur, and local inspirational figure, Brett Bailey. Say hello.
Hello, listeners. It's nice to see you. That was a good Brett Bailey impersonation right there, actually.
That was just me.
Really, we got some overlap then.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, we got some overlap in our intros. Hello, Dave. It is nice to be on. I appreciate you having me.
Well, of course, thank you for being here. So, yeah, as I said, we're going to be talking about the best way to, like, find your own path. And it might be a little bit of a journey of our own that we go down during this segment of an interview.
Yeah, we're going to find ourselves during
this
interview.
I hope so. That's something that I've been actually, like, this is, like, completely real, like, full transparency.
Oh, yeah?
I've been really thinking about what tangible impact do I provide through my, like, professional development and, like, the things that I do. So,
like,
you know,
like what kind of value you can provide humanity, like some real, like, what do you do for society, sort of?
Yeah, well, it's like sort of like, what impact do I have? You know what I mean?
Sure.
Where,
yeah.
Because it's like, because obviously, like, we live in a society which, like, definitely doesn't have a direct dollar to level of impact ratio, right? In
Absolutely.
The sense that, like, the people who have the most wealth definitely don't make as much impact as,
sure,
like, hundreds of other people, and yet
policemen, firemen.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
whereas
if
you were to look at, like, the income of, like, people who are very, very high up, like executives, especially in, like, oil companies or something like that, they make the same salary as, like, 400 policemen or something like that. And, like, there's absolutely no way that they provide the same level of, like, impact.
No,
so,
they negatively affect, like, oil.
Yeah, definitely.
Fun, you know?
Anyway, that's just something that I've been thinking about. I've been thinking about, like, what tangible impact do I have? So it's a question
it's
that I hope to answer.
Yeah, it's an important question, and it's a super exciting question at the same time. So I find that students feel like they need to, you know, quote unquote, have their lives together. You know, we've all heard that saying, what are you doing with your life? And students think they need to figure it all out right now. I think the worst thing you can do is just worry so much about what you're going to do that you don't try anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like, the only way you're going to figure out what you love and what your passion is if you actually go out there and try. And bringing up the word impact, there's a million ways you can, because everyone's like, I want to make an impact in the world while I'm alive. I want to, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah, it's a really important calling for a lot of people.
Sure. Well, yeah, well, there's a million ways you can make an impact. So it's not just about, like, saving starving kids in Africa. It's, you know, you can be a physiotherapist and help people's bodies heal and improve lives, which would, you know, like, there's, like, a million ways, you know, like, there's so many ways people can make an impact. So I think the dramatics kind of get lost in the word making an impact in the world, and there's really a lot of ways you can make an impact while still doing your passion. You know what I mean?
Totally, yeah. Well, and I actually hear, we'll go on a little bit of a tangent. It might help.
Sure.
Have you ever heard of a man named Alan Watts?
Alan Watts?
Yeah.
No, yeah, I think so. I don't know what he did, though.
Well, he was an English philosopher, I guess you could say, and he wrote a lot of books, and so one of the things that he was most passionate about was actually his vocational guidance. So he, in his last, like, 20 years of his life, taught as a professor. I think it was at UCLA or maybe Berkeley, some, like, university in California, and he would help university students do exactly that, guide them through their vocation. And he said that he would get a lot of people who would come up to him and be like, you know, I want to be, like, a painter or a sculptor, or I'm really into, like, horseback riding, or I don't know, just, like, taking care of animals in, like, an animal shelter or something.
Yeah.
And like, he always told them to do that, right? And figure out a way to monetize that rather than just jump into some, like, job,
like,
or whatever.
Job or whatever, yeah.
Because you're not going to like it, right? And then, like, you ask, like, a question, right? Like, what's the point, right? Why are you making money so you can get up every day so that you can go and do a job that you don't like to continue to make money to go do something that you hate?
Yeah,
right?
it makes no sense. And so I'm in business school, for the people listening. And so I'll ask students in business, like, you know, like, what do you want to do as a career or whatever? And the answer, so they say what they want as a career, and then the first thing they say is, because I'm making 100 grand a year, or that's, like, the first thing people say.
Yep.
And, like, it really worries me, because I've asked, like, 80% of ASPR, basically.
That's a ridiculous amount of people. That's, like, 800 people.
I feel like I've talked to, I feel like I've asked, like, everybody that question, everyone I see, higher than the majority of people answer that with a monetary value at the end of it. And I have nothing against making money, but I just worry that if that's the first thing that you're worried about, that they're missing out on a lot of happiness and fulfillment, and they're not actually going to make the impact that they want, and then they'll find themselves regretting their lives or regretting certain business decisions or things like this. They'll just be full of regret at the end of their life, and they won't be fulfilled and happy.
It's really tough. I think here's something productive that I'm thinking about. So, like, let's say, you make some choices in, like, a given period of time. Let's say it's like, you have a five-year plan, then, you know, you're in, like, the end of year three, and you, like, made some choices in the last couple years, and you were like, I'm not really sure if it's right. Like, it definitely brought you some value. It opened up a few new opportunities, but maybe you don't feel, you don't feel it was exactly right for you.
Sure.
What would you suggest somebody do in that situation? Because,
if they do that thing and it just wasn't quite right for them.
Well, because statistically speaking, on average, students will take 5 years to complete a three-year degree.
Okay.
Mostly because people work so much part-time. People work anywhere between 14 to 20 hours a week, 52 weeks a year, right? So let's say, you know, people are sort of finishing their third year and they're like, ah, man, you know, I don't know if this is really right for me.
Like the faculty that they're in?
Yeah, or like their program even. And then they're like, oh, I want to stick with it, though, because I've invested so much time. And so I am constantly in a debate where I don't know what to respond to those people. And I wonder if you have a good answer. Because on the one hand, you have the sunk cost fallacy, which is like, okay, just because you sunk all that time in doesn't mean that you need to stick with it and continue to waste your time. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, that potentially was $15,000, $5,000 a year of like a degree that, you know, might be very lucrative if they just stuck with it for another 2 years.
I hear you. So for someone who's worried about, okay, so for someone who wants to switch, because it just wasn't right for them in their first 3 years, but they're worried about the sunk costs and the sunk time, I understand that part of it, and it's kind of crappy, right?
Yeah.
Having to, like, do it over. And so my question to those people would ask them their perspective. So I would ask, in 30 years, if you did this degree, is an extra 3 years and the money for that really going to matter in 30 years if you're happy and you're doing the job that you love?
Yeah, that's a good question to ask, yeah.
But it's such a tough question because it feels like our lives are like, it feels like we need to do everything right now. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like we need to, like, if like 3 years is so long right now. It's so long. But when you think about being 50 years old, that's like 30 years in the future.
Well, that's like 10 times that, yeah.
Yeah, like 3 years in 30, like, it's just, so I think it's just a huge amount of perspective to have to, like, look at that, because it's just, like, happiness is the game. Like, happiness is what, like, so, like, to anyone who feels that way, I would say I'm a big believer in, like, follow your heart, like, try things and just see what happens. So if you're in engineering and you're done after 3 years and it's like, you know, like, shit, this isn't for me, I would say, okay, so find that, and then maybe in the summer, before you really decide if you want to go back in, do some soul searching in the summer before you apply for your next courses. You know, like, try, say you're interested in business or you're interested in the environment, go volunteer with someone, like, with some environmental organization, or, like, just put yourself out there, try and find experiences that might open up your eyes a little bit, and if not, and if there's something, okay, like, wow, I really want to go into business now, that's what I figured out, then really think about 3 years out of the rest of your life. So you're going to live to, like, let's say, like, 80.
Yeah.
Or, like, that sounds kind of sad. Let's say you're going to live to 100.
Well, that's, like, you know, life expectancy is 85 or something, so we can say,
I guess,
85.
It's, like, 77 or something.
No, like, way higher in Canada.
I think for women it's, like, 87 or something, and men it's, like, 85. Or
yeah, it's, 84. Like, it's around there.
Okay, yeah, it's up. Okay, we'll say 85. So 3 years out of, so 65 years, let's say you're 20 years old. It's absolutely nothing if you're weighing it against your happiness. And also, the time that you're going to be spending in your new venture, that'll be super fun in itself, because you're progressing towards something that's going to make you happy, and that's incredible in itself, as opposed to, you know, working on your engineering degree and not being happy, and that you know in the bottom of your heart that it's not what you want.
Yeah.
So it's, my question to them is perspective and what's really important to them, and my advice is to do some soul searching in the summer, and because I'm not going to act like everyone has, you know, money's growing on trees and people,
well, especially, you know, for students, it's really tight, right? Like, have you seen those signs around that, like, Aramark always advertises, where they're like, 2 out of 5 students experiences food insecurity every day, and it's like, that's a staggering number. If 40% of the population of Canada couldn't afford 3 meals a day, that's like near famine levels of food insecurity.
Yeah, I have like a cousin who only eats 2 meals a day. So like,
well,
so that's like,
is he a student?
Oh no! Oh, was that stat for students?
Or was yeah, it was for
Canada?
Students.
Oh shit! Okay,
definitely not for Canada.
Yeah, I buy that's for students. Hey.
Yeah, no, it totally is. There's like a lot of data to back that up, and that's terrifying.
Yeah, that is pretty messed up. So if you can't afford two meals, yeah, and you know, engineering, I keep using this example, but it's like a longer degree, it's more expensive.
Well, engineers also just have like infinite homework too. That's like a
yeah,
nice little
joke.
Yeah,
so like you don't have plus you don't have as much time to work, unless you're just gonna go all in on school and just like get the scholarships or whatever. But like there's.
That's well. I know most engineers. They don't even do a job during the year. They only work in the summer, and they just rack up loans because they're just like, I can't, right? Because you have like, I don't even know how it is. If you do a full engineering degree, because engineering is already a 4-year degree, I think, and then like, and the courses themselves have like so much homework, and you have to take like 5, and then you also have labs. So like, you're looking
labs
at
labs are the biggest bitch. Yeah, my brother used to be in engineering. Yeah,
You're looking at so much work if you go into engineering.
Yes. Well, this is a great. I forgot about my brother. So this is a perfect example. My brother did engineering for his first 2 years, and then his second year it wasn't as, you know, he was like he enjoyed like, you know, the idea of like the engineering that goes into cars and like creating different stuff, and it wasn't his passion. His passion is fitness.
Okay. Yeah.
And so he dropped out of engineering and is just going all in on fitness now.
That's a good idea.
You know, it's a great idea because it's what's going to make him happy.
Yeah.
So, you know, and like he was asking me, and what I told him, like the only question that matters is it going to make you happy?
Yeah.
Because like, you know, like what the hell else matters, right? If you're not happy, like you're making like $1 million a year and you're not happy, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? So.
Well, I think too, right? There's a lot of motivation that goes into it, right? So, like, I'm sure, like, you know, because, well, like, we're both entrepreneurs, and, like, I think one of the biggest things that entrepreneurs have to find is their motivation to keep going, because for when you just have, like, a job, well, you have two sources of motivation. One is, like, you have your coworkers and your boss being, like, please come into work, like, we need you to, like, you can't miss. So there's that. But then also at the same time, you're like, well, I'm doing this because it directly leads to a paycheck, right? Where it's like, I can pay all my bills, I can, like, have the life that I want. And so it's like, it's very easy, right? So that's a great motivation. But when you're an entrepreneur, it's like, well, number one, you have to like figure everything out. And so that's huge because you need motivation to solve a problem. And then number two is once you've solved that problem, you have to keep going and you sort of have to keep the treadmill running. Mm-hmm.
You're only as good as your last day.
Exactly. Right. And then it's like, you know, no one's going to tell you that you have to do it because it's your own business. So you have to find an intrinsic motivator within yourself.
Absolutely. Yes, that's absolutely.
That's that. So
extrinsic motivation is not the way to go for entrepreneurs, I would say.
Right, exactly. You know? Well, and I think about it, too, with a lot of people. And this was like a really rarely covered topic at the university. Hot take. Feel free to disagree with me. Feel free to, like, tweet at UMFM, David Defane knows nothing. But, like, people who grapple with relationships, I think one of the biggest roadblocks for people in relationships, which is something that a lot of people really care about, right? Like, I think it was like 40% of people who like even go to university. I saw this stat somewhere. It was like the one thing that they regret or they wish that they could have had more of was like a better, like more fulfilling relationship,
like,
because
like
university just smashed their relationship and
like
it just like failed.
Relationship?
Yeah. Right. Okay. Because I probably due to the lack of time and the increase in stress, so you just become like completely overwhelmed, and so it just like destroys it. So like so many people are like, yeah, I wish that I had a better relationship. And so I think one of those things is like, you know, what can keep you motivated to like, I guess, be committed, but still also like enjoy like your time with another person, because I think that so many university students struggle with it, right? Like,
sure. And okay, so yeah, that's a great point. And I think it's super tough to be in a relationship. It is manageable depending on how much stuff you have going on.
Yeah.
But like, I always like, I get actually asked this question more often than you might think. I actually get it asked pretty often, and I always say that like I don't even want a relationship. Like, I mean, like, really, I think relationships are super nice. I'm pro relationship. But
I'm pro relationship. That's a stance I've never heard.
Yeah, I'm pro relationship. So I think relationships are super cool, super great. Like, it's nice having that one person, and you know, I think I'm a huge fan. But during university, and it depends how busy you are and how much stuff you have. But anytime like I'll go on like a date with a girl, like I'll always make sure that I tell them that, like, you know, that I have so much like I don't really want a relationship right now, because I don't think it would be fair to whoever I'd be dating because I wouldn't be able to give myself emotionally to them as much as I would want to.
Right. Well, because I guess you got your finger in so many pies, right? Like, you're doing so many things.
Sure. Like, I just, like, looking at my, I just have, like, no time. I do something every single hour of the day. And the only way I thought it would work is if, like, the person I was dating was, like, also, like, an absolute, like, workaholic. You know, like, just, yeah. You know what I mean?
But well, I think it's because then they would understand, right? Because the single biggest problem, and I've heard this time and again anecdotally from all of my friends, right?
Yeah.
Well, the main reason why things didn't work out in university, other than just being like, I feel stressed and like my mental health has suffered and I can no longer be in a relationship, which is like a whole separate issue.
Yeah.
It was because people are like, I do tons of work. My significant other does like less work, or they just work full time at a job. And like, jobs are really nice for that, right? Because when you, this is like another thing that like people always talk about, again, sort of related to finding your path, but, just working at a job ends when you clock out, but university is perpetual, like 365, because when you leave school, you're thinking about homework, and then like before you go to bed, you're thinking about all the things that you have to like write or do the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's unlike a job, right? Because you can just sort of like, you can just,
it's like eight hours you're in and you're out.
Yeah, you're done. Absolutely. And then you can completely shift gears. But university's not like that. So when people work or they just do part-time classes, they think to their partner and they're like, well, I don't understand why you're so busy all the time, or you don't have as much time for me, or you're not as invested in this as I am.
Yeah.
And that causes so much friction.
For sure.
Just,
and then the person
up.
Who isn't in school or isn't working as hard, they think that they just don't want to spend time with them, or they're not. And that's the thing. Like,
yeah.
It's just like, it's almost inevitable unless like you're super, super in love, or, you know, like, so that's why, like, I think like if you're super busy, it's like, it's almost not fair to both of you to try and make something like that work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it just depends. It really just depends on how busy you are. One other thing is, it costs a lot of money to be in a relationship, like dates and like, and it depends. Like,
well, I guess it depends what you want.
Heads up, ladies, if any of you are, I literally,
wow. This plug.
Yeah, no, I literally do not spend like any money like on stuff. So like, if I'm going on a date, like I'm gonna like take a first date on like a walk to the park, or like, you know what I mean? Like, I literally, I refuse to spend money on stuff I don't need while I don't have any money.
Well, I feel like that's why the coffee date is the eternal, like, first date.
Yes, because it's so cheap.
Because it's like, because I'm going to spend $5, and I'm going to spend, like, maybe 2 hours and figure out if I want to, like, go out with this person again.
Sure.
And that's why, that's, like, the number one thing, right? Like,
yeah.
Pro tip here from your boy, Brad Bailey, and the host, Davey T, right? Like, if you want to ask somebody out, just hit them up for a coffee. Just be like, you know what, let's go to Starbucks, right? Like,
yeah.
You can spend the $5.75 on a peppermint mocha if you have the chance of finding somebody special.
Yeah,
yeah. Just do it.
I'm with you on that. Like, I don't want to, again, like, even when it comes to working, like, every hour of the day, I do that, but I don't sacrifice it if there's, like, a super cool opportunity. Like, I want to live my life.
Yeah.
But I, you know what I mean? So there's a balance, but I don't sacrifice, like, going out or, like, spending money on stuff I don't need for my end goal. Like, I always think, so in 1 year, am I going to be okay with spending that $5 on the coffee, or would I wish I have it now?
Yeah, exactly, right? Well, it's
is it going to be worth it to me in a year?
Like, probably.
You know? So, like, if I buy a coffee every day, I'll be super pissed that I spent, like, $700 that year on coffee.
That's insane, yeah.
You
no, that's
I mean?
That's way too much.
Yeah.
Like, I know people who for sure spend $1,000 a year on
drinks.
Easy.
I know
drinks.
People who spend, like, $2,000 a year on drinks and food. Like, just, like, eating out, man, it's pretty outrageous how, like, it's just the consumerism in our society today, and the marketing does a great job of attracting those people, but people are just in the habit of buying stuff. Like, I look at the line of Starbucks, and it's just, like, a 50-person line, and I'm like, wow. Like, all I just see is just, like, $200 or, like, $2,500 in standing in line right now.
Yeah, well, I guess, like, think about how much money the Tims in UC must make, right? That must be the most lucrative Tim Hortons in all of Winnipeg.
Yeah, in all of the world, man. it's like everyone lined up there. No, it's pretty ridiculous.
People even go, like, when schools, like, close on, like, Labor Day and stuff, like, people will go and they'll, like, look at the, like, closed gates and they'll be like, man, I can't believe Tims isn't open.
Yeah, I know, eh? Yeah, so, like, and again, I don't have a problem with anyone who eats out or drink. Like, it's nice to go out and eat. It's nice to go out and have a – it's nice to go out and buy stuff. I enjoy it myself. The problem – the only reason why when I don't enjoy people saying that, or when people do that, is if it's, like, if they complain about how much money they have, or if they complain about, you know, like where they're at financially, if they complain about things like that, and it's like, well, you're spending, you know, money on coffee every day, and you're complaining about where you're at financially. So that's more when it's –
Here's another hot take, though.
Let's hear it.
High school does not adequately prepare people for financial planning. Because I remember I took...
In grade
10, I took a financial literacy course. And that was, like, where I learned how to, like, budget and, like, how to manage money. Because, like, before that, I, like, never had to think about it, right? Because I was, like, 15. And, like, before you're a 15-year-old, you, like, you don't even have a job. You can't even work until you're 15 and a half. And then, like... Number two, right, your parents, like, give you an allowance, maybe, and, but, honestly, like, they pretty much just, like, give everything to you, right? So, yeah. It's, like, that's when, like, probably grade 9 and 10, I would think the high school needs to do way more to, like,
just
teach
in
people
high school,
on how
like,
to
okay,
do anything.
Instead of learning, like, fucking pre-calculus that, like, no one's gonna fucking use, unless you're, like, going into it, like, teach us how to, like, manage our finances, manage our, like you're saying, like, budget, like just like a couple things about investing or like how to like find a career, how to find your passion, like
yeah,
like practical things like doing your taxes, like shit that we're actually gonna need to do. Like god damn it, it makes me super super mad that we learn all this really really unuseful shit.
Well yeah, right, and it's like how many times have I used calculus in my life, right? I co-run a business, and you know how many times, like, literally zero.
Yeah,
literally
yeah.
Not
like
at all.
You probably use some math, but not like...
No, I use
not
math.
Not calculus. Like...
That's right.
Freaking like on a... What even... I can't remember. I did this last year. This is so bad. This is another hot take. We're all about the hot takes today.
Yeah, we are.
This is another hot take. Oh, shit. I totally forgot what I was going to say. It mustn't have been that important of a hot take.
Something about math?
Oh, yeah, I got it. Okay, yeah, I got it. No, not... It's like sort of related to math. I don't know about you, but like I feel like... I was talking to this guy the other day, super smart guy. His name's Eric. I doubt he's listening, but he doesn't really listen to the radio.
It's okay. Well, we always upload our episodes to SoundCloud as well.
Cool.
So I'll post it up. We'll share it. We can get people to download the MP3.
Okay, cool. So I was talking to this guy, Eric, and he said that people do not, or like the university does not like teach us how to learn stuff. It teaches us, like, the courses are set up so that we can like get an A without actually learning stuff. You know what I mean? Like, we can, like...
It's a game. There's a university game.
Yeah, you can, like... Yeah. You can, like, you know, with the extra... You know, like, it doesn't teach us how to, like, actually, like, learn it to learn it. Because, like, I don't know about you, but I forget, like, all the shit... Like, so much of the shit I learned in, like, the last 2 weeks. Like, once the semester's done and, like, 6 months later, I don't remember, like... Definitely don't remember half the stuff that I learned. So, like, out of all the slides and everything. So, they really don't... They do not do a good job of teaching us how to actually study it to learn it, but just to how to get a good grade in it.
That's right, yeah. So I think that the word you're looking for is internalize. So you're not internalizing the information that you're absorbing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you're
absolutely.
It's just you temporarily absorb it, you regurgitate it on a piece of paper, which is your exam, to get like an A or whatever, and then that's gone. Like, see you later, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. But then, at the same time, there's another problem, too, because degrees, right? So I know, because I'm in political studies, right? Even though, like, I'm an entrepreneur, I, like, know everyone in political studies because I was in the honors program. I actually went down to general, but I know everyone in the honors program, right? And it's, like, 50 people. And so there's so many different jobs that you can do with an honors degree in political studies. Like, within the government itself, there's, like, 150 different occupations, right? And so if you're working for water and waste, the energy department, if you're working for, like, parks and rec, if you're working for, like, border security, right? There's, like... Those are completely different skill sets, like,
sure,
right? So,
yeah.
But they're all from the same degree. So what does that mean? Well, the university, at least in theory, I don't know exactly how well it is in practice, needs to create a program that has a little bit of all the skills that people would need to go into that occupation. Because I think that employers, whether it's in the private or public sector, they're going to have to do a lot of on-the-job training when they hire somebody anyways, right?
Yeah.
Especially in the private sector. The private sector is like 100% because you have to learn the culture of the company. You have to learn, like, the idiosyncrasies of, like, a particular firm. With the government, it's a little bit different because everything's standardized. But, man, like, things would be so different if you work at, like, Skip the Dishes compared to, like, Tripwire Media, you know?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
So I think there's that. But, yeah, so getting back to the main point, I guess, if we're going to wrap up the interview, it's, like, when finding your path, I think that it's important to, and jump in here, correct me if I'm wrong. I think that it's important, yeah, to, like, listen to what Brett said. Like, focus on what makes you happy. Focus on what really matters to you. Focus on the things where, like, right, imagine yourself 4 years or 5 years down the road. What do you see yourself doing that actually makes you happy to get up every day and go into work, right? Because it's like, I love, like, working with people. That's why, like, I've tried to mold my job at like marketing for Posted to be as people oriented as possible. Mm-hmm. And you know what I absolutely hate? I hate doing graphic design, and I hate doing basically just like social media. Like I just I hate that so much. Like I want to be like on the ground tabling, in the classroom doing class talks, talking to people, doing support, customer feedback. That's the stuff that I like. I'm a people oriented person. I have a terrible eye for art. People roast me all the time. I'm so bad at drawing, so bad at graphic design. So I outsource those things, right? And you would say, oh, but they're like part of the marketing department, but just like try and delegate them, right? Like
building on your strengths.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the same thing, whether you're in engineering, whether you're in the Faculty of Arts, whether you're in like science and you're being a biologist, there are going to be things that you don't like to do. So try and delegate them, or try and automate them, or try and find your niche where you can combine your abilities and your wants into your occupation itself. And even while you're going through university, just remember that, like, you know, it's important, as Brett said, to like to live your life, right? It's like, think about the opportunities that you have, and like, it's important to be financially responsible, it's important to be responsible with your time, but also let yourself have those like moments of fun, right? Especially if they're going to be very memorable, it'll really help. And I think it'll help you too to find that path, because you got to try new things, right? Like in the summer, as you said, it's like do soul searching, like try out new things, volunteer with an environmental organization. Those are great options.
Yeah, just do shit. Like,
yeah,
like, the people just like sit home and like watch Netflix and don't like go out and experience stuff, and like you could be learning new things, or you could be, you know, finding yourself a little bit. I'm not saying that, like, again, nothing against Netflix. I'm just saying, like, if you're unhappy, like, you're not going to get happier most likely watching Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, like, a little bit against Netflix. Netflix definitely like enables people to just like binge watch, which is like super unhealthy.
Netflix is one of the biggest biggest procrastinators of all time.
I
would like to make one thing clear. If you're not happy, say you're like doing like a you want to be a doctor, but you got to do like this shitty course in like microbiology or whatever you have to do. I'm not saying just quit because you don't like microbio. Like, I think most of the time, to get to your end goal, you do have to do stuff that you don't want to do.
Oh, certainly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So don't just quit if you don't like it, if it's going to get you to your end goal. It's like the end happiness in your life.
Right, yeah. So it's like, so I think that the best way to sum it up in a sentence would be, right, the end justifies the means. So if you don't like the means, but you will like the end, then you're on the right track. But if you like the means and you don't like the end, you are en route to absolute disaster, because it's going
basically
to be
basically liking the means, not the end, is like getting super drunk every weekend if you want to be like a doctor.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and like, and not like focusing on your studies. And then like at the end of the day, you're not going to be a doctor, but like you're probably going to do something that you don't like, and you're going to be like, man, do I ever regret like getting drunk every day? Like,
yeah.
And wasting time. So honestly, like I think that that's it. Like just envision where you want to be. Think about the steps to get there, and think about what really makes you happy and what you really enjoy. And that's what you need.
Yes, I agree. And it might be kind of weird for people to like envision where they're going to be in 5 years, or like not actually do it. Like, if you're listening, like, take like 5 minutes, like it's five goddamn minutes. And, like, actually just think about what you want and what you think you'll need to get there. And don't let anyone or anything get in the way of that. It sounds super simple to say, but like actually taking the time, it's pretty cool. I think you might surprise yourself with how fast you could develop a mindset of achieving the things you want. So that's my advice. Just take some time to think about yourself and what you want.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Brett.
My pleasure.
And of course, we'll see what you're going to be doing in the year. Keep your eye out for Brett Bailey in the Asper School of Business. He's doing some cool stuff.
Coming at you.
Yeah. So anyway, have a great day.
Thank you.
Your Campus Today is a collaborative production between UM Today, the Manitoban, the Department of Student Life, and this station, UMFM 101.5. Thanks for listening, folks. If you have a story you'd like us to feature or want to send in feedback, please email us at campustoday@umfm.com.